This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 30, entitled Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities. This is text number 2.
Yam yam artam upadate. Dukena sukha hetave. Tam tam dunoti Bhagavan. Pumancho chatiyat krite. Yam yam.
Whatever.
Artam.
Artam.
Object.
Object.
Upadate.
Upadate.
One acquires.
Dukena,
with difficulty.
Shukha
hetave,
for happiness.
Tum tum,
that.
Dhunoti,
destroys.
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Pumam,
the person.
Sochati,
laments.
Yat krite,
for which reason? Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Whatever is produced by the materialist with great pain and labor for so-called happiness, the Supreme Personality as the time factor destroys, and for this reason, the conditioned soul laments. Purport. The main function of the time factor, which is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to destroy everything. The materialists, the material consciousness, are engaged in producing so many things in the name of economic development. They think that by advancing in satisfying the material needs of man, they will be happy. But they forget that everything they have produced will be destroyed in due course of time. From history we can see there are many powerful empires on the surface of the globe that were all constructed with great pain and great perseverance, but in due course of time they have all been destroyed. Still the foolish materialists cannot understand that they are simply wasting time in producing material necessities which are destined to be vanquished in due course of time. This waste of energy due to the ignorance of the mass of people who do not know that they are eternal and that they have an eternal engagement also. They do not know that this span of life in a particular type of body is but a flash in the eternal journey. Not knowing this fact, they take the small flash of life to be everything, and they waste time in improving economic conditions. Yam yam artam upadate. Dukena shuka hetave, tam tam dunoti bhagavan, puman chochati yat krite. If you were listening carefully to the shlok and the purport, we'll understand that the subject matter of today's verse is kala, or time. Curiously enough, or interestingly enough, time is actually one of the main subject matters in Vedic literature, in Krishna conscious philosophy. There's a whole chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam dedicated to time. I think it's called Time According to the Atom. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, in his introduction to Srimad Bhagavad Gita, very analytical study of that great treatise, he states that time is one of the five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. There's God, the living entity, material nature, activity in time. I haven't read the introduction for a long time, but long time. So time is one of the main subject matters. Of course, time is very subtle. It cannot be so easily perceived like the other four, well, let's say three. We can easily perceive the living entity, material nature, and activity. We can't so easily perceive God, but it's, if you come to the temple and you accept, my dear Lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. If you understand the philosophy of worshipping the deity, you can also see God. He's there, standing on the altar, receiving your seva, your prayers out of his causeless mercy. But time, this is very difficult to perceive. It's very, very subtle. How do we understand time? It's even difficult to comprehend. How do you analyze time? It's something like the passing of time. The passing of seconds into minutes, into hours, into days, into weeks, into years, into decades, into centuries, into millenniums, ad infinitum. And if you think of it, that passing of time on a cosmic scale, what does it mean? Time actually means the past, that's also time, the present, and the future. Those are the three phases of time. So subtle. But, although subtle, at the same time very powerful. Not that gross things are necessarily more powerful than subtle things. Actually, sometimes it's the opposite. Like our mind, which controls this body, it's very subtle, but it's extremely powerful. Krishna says, one who conquers the mind, the super soul's already reached. So nothing's more subtle than time, and really nothing's more powerful than time. Because under the influence of time, the sages have analyzed, under the influence of time, everything in this world comes to pass. As Mr. Harrison said, Bhakti George, all things come to pass. And this is the essence of Prabhupada's purport today, analyzing time. Under the influence of time, everything in this world, from the atom to the whole cosmic creation and all that entails, we just have experience of this one planet, this solar system, this universe, but there's millions and billions and quadrillions of universes out there, just like a bag of mustard seeds. It's so vast. But in the end, under the influence of time, under which everything deteriorates, it's all kaput, as they say in German. Therefore, the sages say, not the sages, actually, Krishna says that time is so powerful that it's taken as a representative of the Supreme. In one sense, it is God. Krishna's Kaloshmi Loka Shaya Krit Parito. He says, time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds. It was another feature of Krishna. Time. Prabhupada analyzes it very nicely, just so we can, the examples are given to understand philosophy, because philosophy is also very subtle. It's something to be understood by the mind. And therefore there's analogies. Analogies bring philosophy into perspective. I can't catch it. Well, here's an analogy. Oh, now I understand. In that sense, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he described the material world from which we draw analogies. He describes it like a dictionary to understand the spiritual world. The spiritual world is more subtle than anything in this world. It's the most subtle of all things, spirit. And the whole spiritual world is made of spirit. Chintamani, transcendental touchstone. How do we understand that? Well, there's different analogies. We use the dictionary of the material world to get a grasp of the idea of that which is spiritual. Just like you may have never seen a llama. I don't think they have llamas here in Australia. Maybe they import them. But if you go to the dictionary, then there's the word llama. I think it's L-L-A-M-A. And there's a looks like a horse, but it has long hair, and it's got a bushy tail and funny ears and different eyes, and then you get an idea, oh, llama. You get an idea. So analogies help us understand something concrete, or something philosophical, let us say. A concrete example to understand something philosophical. If you listen to any lecture, there's so many analogies, actually. Prabhupada was so expert at giving analogies to help his young students understand philosophy. So here we have time, which is very subtle, yet at the same time, a representative of the Supreme, Krishna, Kaloshmi, I am time. How to grasp that? Because time is all-powerful. So how is time all-powerful? Well, Prabhupada uses the analogy here in the purport. He said, just see, there are many great personalities, there have been many great personalities in this world, great nations, there's been great civilizations, they've lasted hundreds or sometimes thousands of years. Right now, one of the greatest nations in the world, they say, is America, because American culture is all over the world, it's a one world culture now. America. And the Americans are thinking it's going to go on forever. But they're starting to get scared because they can see that China is a very powerful competitor. Even to their amazement, to their humility, so is India. India is becoming, from a third world country, is becoming a second world, is going to become a first world country one day. So it's powerful for many reasons. But despite that fact, America's only been around 300 years. There were other civilizations that were thousands of years. Where are they now? Well, they've gone. They've all disappeared, along with their personalities. I remember one time we were sitting with Srila Prabhupada having darshan at New Mayapur in France, and Prabhupada, who'd recently been in Paris, he'd been taking his morning walks, he saw several statues of Napoleon. So he said, France and Napoleon are like one. But where is Napoleon now? France is there, but where is Napoleon? France is much of what France is because of Napoleon, and Napoleon was hoping that he would be the emperor forever. He was thinking like that. But under the influence of this all-powerful Kala, or time, everything comes into being. And when something's new, there's a lot of potential there. It's very attractive. Anything which is young is very attractive. Children, new flower, a baby deer. All babies are attractive. There's the potential, the youth is there. But then under the influence of time, they stay for some time. Then they dwindle. And then they disappear. Death. Thousands of years ago, no one thought the Greek civilization would end. The Roman Empire. Whoever thought during the Roman times, they were all over the place. Even now, even when I was in Russia, sometimes you find remnants of Roman civilizations far away, deep into Russia. What is it now? Now it's Italy. Fighting and bickering over this little finger of land in Europe. Rome was so powerful. Now Rome, the only reason Rome is affluent now is because it's a tourist attraction. It has the Colosseum. What about England? Prabhupada mentions England here. There's the famous saying, or there was the famous saying, that the sun never sets on the British Empire. That's because they had Australia. And now the sun never rises on the British Empire. If you live in London, it's always foggy. I've been there so many times. Every time I go, it's foggy. So therefore, when Prabhupada arrived in London, which was the capital of the British Empire for centuries, he shocked the reporters when they said, Swamiji, how do you like London? He said, London is hell. Why are so many people migrating to your country? Because the sun is here. So time destroys everything, even this earth planet. One time I was walking with my godbrother, Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj, and he was in a very kind of reflective mood. He said, it's all temporary. He said, my program in Kazakhstan, your Polish tour. What? My Polish? It's all temporary. So Kaloshmi, because it's all powerful, God. If you look in the dictionary, I don't know what they read. When I was a kid, we read Webster's Dictionary. You look up G-O-D, God. We can describe God in 18,000 verses. They struggle to understand, what is God if he exists? He's supreme controller. So here's one phase of his controlling. Under the influence of time, even the most powerful, they fall to their knees before time. And the sages have observed that although time is the great destroyer, although he's so powerful, people don't notice that he's there. This is the ironical thing about time. Usually you have an opposition, you can see him and there. But time is so subtle that although he's destroying everything, we don't see it. Only every 5 or 10 years when you look in the mirror, oh, I'm getting older. You see the influence of time. One symptom, Prabhupada says, that we don't notice the passing of time is that we think we can stay here forever. This is a symptom of the conditioned soul, that he's not able to recognize God either in his spiritual form, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or even in his material form, so-called material form, as time. This is the mentality of the materialistic person, that although time is going on, destroying everything, materialistic person is actually thinking he's going to be here for, well, Prabhupada said, forever. That's how he's thinking. He's thinking that he'll never die. Because if you knew you were going to die, you would live it, you would immediately, your whole life perspective would change. Just like Maharaj Pariksit. When he was cursed by Sringi, the Brahmin boy, then his whole perspective on life changed. He was a powerful king. He had a treasury, he had ministers and servants, a beautiful wife and children, and he was a young man. You see the painting, actually, Maharaj Pariksit, hearing Shukdev Goswami in the bank of the Ganges, he appears to be a young man, almost like in his late 20s or 30s. As soon as he was cursed by the unqualified son of a Brahmana, Sringi, unqualified in the sense that he couldn't retract the curse, to die in 7 days, what did he do? Well, then everything's finished. Now I go and I sit and I inquire from the sadhus, what is the duty of one who's about to die? If you knew you were going to die today, what would you do? You would probably sit in front of Radha Gopinath and chant very sincerely, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Of course, we know we're going to die, so therefore we are chanting Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said once, bhajan will be judged at the moment of death. The materialistic people, they don't see their inevitable destruction. They actually think they're going to go on bewildered by the glare of the promise of happiness in this world. They just go on as if nothing's going to happen. They don't see God in his form of time. We're taught to see God in all his features. Prabhupada gave the example of the goats. The goats are all lined up in front of the slaughterhouse. You know, the goats, they have a brain about that big. So they're munching the grass, and then the butcher, he opens the door and he takes one goat in, and then he slaughters the goat, and the goat is obviously screaming, crying out in fear that moment. And the blood is dripping out of the slaughterhouse onto the road. But the other goats, they're oblivious. They're all lined up, munching, munching. And one by one they're being taken. We don't see this is going, especially in our Western civilization, you don't see these things because they hide these things. In India you see these things. Not this time, but the last time I was in Jagannath Puri, I was walking towards Haridas Thakur Samadhi Mandir from where we were staying down by the beach. And there was this sadhu, And he was laying on the ground, and you could see he was terminally ill. He was like his last day or something, or I thought days. But then I came by an hour later after visiting Haridas Thakur Samadhi. He was gone, as they say. He's left this place, they say in India. He left this place. I mean, he's gone back to the spiritual world. So the people were there, and they were all saying, you have to give money because this sadhu, he has no one, and we have to burn the body and put the ashes, you know. So everyone was throwing in, I threw in 50 rupees. It's that custom. And then they took that money, and they bought the wood, and they went to the, what is it called, where they burn the bodies? Huh? There's a, but they call it something in Jagannath Puri. Yeah. Something like that. Yes, where they, the door to heaven. And then they burned him. And I followed it because I wanted to have this samskara, we say, this impression in my mind about the temporary nature of life so that I would be more serious about Krishna consciousness. So you see these things in India, you know, the women give birth, or they used to give birth, under an auspicious tree, a pipal tree. Mahaprabhu was born under a neem tree. This was the tradition. Very often under a tree, an auspicious tree. So birth is there. Disease, when you walk to the Puri temple, there's that lane where all the lepers are. You're going to the temple of God, and by God's arrangement, all the lepers are there. You can see, yes, when I get to the temple, then I should be serious about Krishna consciousness. Old age, you know, the women in India don't dye their hair when the first gray hairs come. And no, you see that the gray hair is there. They don't have that cream for the wrinkles, you know. But because they're Krishna conscious, they're very beautiful in their old age. This is real beauty, actually, Krishna consciousness. The sadhu, he's looking very attractive, although he's very old. Prabhupada was very beautiful. He was effulgent, actually. I never thought of Prabhupada as an old man. I never thought like that. He always looked to me like a youth, sort of. It was hard to grasp. The eternality was manifest. So, and death, you see these things. In Western culture, we don't see, so therefore this adds to the illusion. Ahanyahani bhutani gachantila himalayam sheshesh dhavaram ichanti kimashchayam ataparam. One of the classic verses in our Krishna conscious philosophy. There's certain key verses that are very helpful for a student to learn. Like you have, like Prabhupada said one time, you memorize a verse and you say it seven times, he said it's yours. You memorize a verse seven times, it's yours. What more could you want than these jewels of wisdom? Well, I want an iPod and I want this. And no. This is what we want to possess, this gyan, the knowledge. And what's more, by serving that knowledge, we get vigyan. That's the real jewel. That's the polished jewel. Gyan is like you take the gold from the earth, and gold is actually not very attractive when it comes from the earth. It has to be processed. It has to go through fire. Or jewels, you know, they don't come out like that. You have to polish them. So, gyan, knowledge, when you act on that knowledge, after due course of time in chaito dharpana marjanam, the purities are washed from the heart, then you get the jewel of wisdom. And this is the possession of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, especially as one grows older. It's to be expected that one begins to realize these things. So, this verse, Ahanyahani Bhutani, this verse is classic. And where is it coming from? Mahabharata. Yudhishthira's brothers were all poisoned by the lake. Actually, that lake's out at Kamyavan in Vrindavan. You go to Kamyavan. I was studying, we were doing Vrindavan Parikrama, and we were planning to go to Kamyavan. But I'd been there once, but I didn't know much, so I was studying up for the lecture at Kamyavan with our Parikrama group. And I was surprised that Bhimokund is there. And this is where the Pandavas were. They drank the water, they were poisoned, and then Yudhishthira came. And all brothers were dead. And Yamaraj spoke from the sky, if you can answer these questions, these following questions, I'll revive your brothers. Oh. So you can't get the answer wrong there. You can't fail that test, or what happens? Your brothers die. So there's many questions, but we won't mention them now. But one question: what is the most amazing thing? So, and then there were many amazing things. Now what they call amazing, you know, some glare of material civilization. But one of the most amazing thing, he said, every day hundreds, he answered, Yudhishthira, every day hundreds of millions of living entities are going to the kingdom of death. Still, those who are remaining think they will live forever. He said to Yamaraj, sir, what could be more amazing than this? Yamaraj was impressed because this is his business. This is Yamaraj's business. He's devotee. He's more than devotee. He's Mahajan. He's one of the 12 devotees who are the authorities in the science of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he's our worshipable guru, Yamaraj. And what service has he accepted? Anya Hani Bhutani. His seva, his service is, taking the souls at the moment of death and putting them in their appropriate next birth. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tiyachati anta kalevaram. Whatever mentality you have at the moment of death, that will determine your next birth. So all this is being overseen by Dharmaraj. Yamaraj. He's so busy. Because who is dying? There's at every moment, you cannot count, even in this room. There's so many, well, I don't want to say it because the devotees, but there's so many bugs, little bugs, viruses. From the beginning of this lecture till now, hundreds and millions of living entities in this room have passed through life. Birth, growth, duration, dwindling, and death, as we've talked. Fortunately, there are katas there, so there's some benefit for those bugs. They happen to crawl into this room. They flew into this room. They're microbes. No, but still, that Shabda Brahma, that transcendental sound is there, so there's some benefit for them. So no one can live here forever. Everyone has to die. Still, to add insult to injury, like insult to injury means that you have a fight and a guy's down, then you insult him. Insult to injury. People think that they can stop time. It's bad enough they're not aware of how time is acting, and therefore they don't take advantage of life to be Krishna conscious. But they're so foolish, they think they can stop time. This is the demon. This is the mentality of the demoniac, that they can challenge God. In days of yore, they challenged God by putting on two extra arms, pretending they were God. What was his name? Huh. And they challenged God with weapons like gada, chakra, arrows, and like this, they challenge. It's just so crazy, but they challenge. Nowadays, they challenge God with words. The pen is mightier than the sword. So instead of the gada, they take the pen. There is no God, or God is alive, but he's hiding in Argentina. When I was young, we used to challenge. God is alive, but he's hiding in Argentina. So one of my friends actually went to Argentina. Two of my friends. It was a bit of an escapade, but looking for spiritual life, and they were joking. Yes, they said God is alive and well in Argentina. But they tried to kill God by philosophy. Most modern philosophers, actually, they're atheists, so in different ways, they're writing, disproving the existence of God, and like this. So they're challenging God, just like you sometimes see the big truck going down the road. Vroom. And this little chihuahua doggy comes running out of the house. Those little chihuahuas, they're about that big. They look like little hot dogs. And
this big, 16-wheel semi-trailer barreling down the road. And this little chihuahua, woof, 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 he comes out and he starts, following the truck down the road, thinking he's going to, take down the truck. Hello? He makes one little mistake and he's pancake. So this is the materialist in his challenge of God. Who has ever been successful in his challenge to God through the eons of time? Not one. And the best of them have gone down. Who are the best? Not these modern philosophers, what are they? In their ivory towers. What about Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal? They're demons, but hearing about them makes your hair stand on end. The pastime, so powerful. But they were defeated. So now they think they can stop death. The scientists are saying like that. We've heard many times in Bhagavatam class how the scientists are. They're saying, yes, one day we will discover the formula for stopping old age. Even recently I read something like that. To stop the aging process they have. Stopping the aging of the skin, they have some product now. Not that you change it with a cream, put it back, but actually you wear the cream and you don't get older. So they're foolishly thinking like this. And probably this is a post-dated check. We'll stop old age, we'll stop death. Wow. So what does it mean to you right now on December, whatever we are, December 5th, 2007, you get a post-dated check of $2 billion for the year, July 4th, 3010. Does that mean anything? But neither will they even be to do it. Will they ever be able to do it? It's all hot air. You can't stop death. You can't cheat death. The ride to Omnibad, that is Mahavishnu Swami, is one of his favorite stories. Mahavishnu Swami. Now he's elderly, he's in his 70s. The elder, the senior one. He's in Dvaraka or Gujarat. Such a nice devotee. And his favorite story, one of his favorite stories, I've heard it tell so many times, laughing. The ride to Omnibad. That the wealthy man sends his servant to the market. My young boy, you purchased some fruits today for the breakfast. And so the young boy goes, and somehow or other, he sees death in the marketplace. Death personified. We had to have a classic, with the hood and the long staff, and you see this black face with the white eyes. Death is there, and death starts walking towards him. He gets scared. Oh, death is coming. And he runs around here and there, and then he escapes and he cuts back to the house. Master, death was almost got me. The master becomes very angry. And he says, so you take this horse and you ride to Omnibad. You'll escape death. Then the master goes down to the market. He finds death personified. You rascal, you thought you were going to get my servant, but we have tricked you. And death takes out his little book. Your servant? I don't have an appointment with your servant in the marketplace this morning. I have an appointment with your servant on the road to Omnibad this afternoon. Or what about the potter? We often tell that story. The potter. He went to an astrologer and he heard when he was going to die. He had the exact the year, the month, the day, the hour, the minute, the second. So a very good astrologer. It was about 1 year later. So then he was a very good potter, a sculptor. So that time came, and getting closer, and he started creating different images of himself from different material substances, marble and clay, and it looked so real. He was so expert. So he made 9 of them in different positions doing different things. And to make a long story short, when Yamaraj came to get him, he froze. And Yamaraj came in. He was such a good artist. Oh my gosh.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. He couldn't do like that. He had to take the real person. So he's there and he's... Is it 7:30 or 7:20, the opening? 7:30. So they're thinking, what to do? And that man is frozen. So he couldn't tell what was the statue and what was the real man. So Yamaraj, you can't fool Yamaraj. He's the representative of death, Krishna's representative. What a humble service. So he says, whoever created these statues is a really lousy artist. I mean, my God, just look at the hand on that statue. It's so imperfect. And the color tones there, just ghastly. And the positioning of that. So the artist, what do you mean? I'm a great artist. Yamaraj says, thank you very much. Come with me. So mrityu sarvaharash chaham. I am all devouring death. And therefore there's a Bengali proverb. It's not a very nice proverb, but I mean it's a nice proverb, but the wording is sadhu means one who cuts. So the Bengalis, they say, Gaye gukum mukle yame chari na. I hope I'm saying it right for the... Even if I smeared stool on my body to avoid punishment for my sins, Yamaraj would not release me. Gaye gu mukle yame chari na. So you can't stop time. Even as we've been sitting here, billions of cells have died and been replenished. That's a sad story. We'll be sad the whole day, you know. In Krishna consciousness, there's always a good ending. There's always the positive alternative. The sadhu, he points out the realities of material life, but out of his kindness, he always offers the medicine, as Mahaprabhu said. I've come to this world to relieve you from the disease of material existence, and I've brought the medicine. Oh, sir, what is the medicine? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. There's always the positive alternative. When you speak philosophy in Krishna consciousness, it means pointing out the illusion of material life and the reality of spiritual life. They think that material life is the reality and spiritual life is the illusion. No, sir. You may think like that, but if you hear from Guru Shastra Sadhu, then you get a very clear understanding of what is what. Tadvidi paripatena pariprasana sevaya upadekshanti teginam ghaninash tattva darshana. Hear the tattva from the tattvadarshis, from those who have realized the truth. So time, yes, but time can also be used to our advantage. Narada Muni says to Vyasadeva, O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by the very same thing? So on the one hand, time is a great destroyer, but time can also be a friend for a devotee. Although Krishna can be very heavy with the materialist, he can be very kind to his devotees. Ugropi anugra evayam svabhaktanam nikeshari keshariva shrapotanam anyesham ukura vikrama. This is a favorite verse of the Nisringa Bhaktas. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nisringadeva is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. This is Sridhar Maharaj. So how can time, which is so cruel to the non-devotees, be a friend to the devotees? Wow, that is nicely revealed in Bhagavatam. Aryur harati vaipumsham udyan ashtam chayan asho tasyarte tat tasyarte yat shano nita utama shloka vartaya. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of the life of everyone, except one who utilizes time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Now this is the nectar. The other parts, the souls, you become very sober. But here's the hope, that if we use the time factor for discussing Harikatha, like we're doing now, the name, the fame, the form, the paraphernalia, and particularly the leelas of Krishna, then time becomes our friend. Because utilizing time in that way, well, what was the result? Now you become Krishna conscious. And then, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, what will be your mentality the moment of death? You'll be absorbed in Krishna, then you'll go to Krishna. Home is where the heart is. So where is your heart? Your heart should be in Vrindavan. As they have that famous t-shirt, I left my heart in Vrindavan. If your heart is in Braj, and why would your heart be in Braj? Because you visit Braj. You go to the Leela stans, you hear the Leelas, you bathe in the Jamuna, you worship Giriraj, you pray to Gopishwara Mahadev, you worship Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyama Sundar, then your heart will be there. And when you die, you will go to Golok. That is the idea. So therefore, understanding that a devotee is very careful how he utilizes time, that's one of the signs of an advanced devotee. There's several, five or six factors. But one is that he's never wastes time. He's very careful with time. Just like if time is a feature of Krishna, as we've been discussing, then we treat time with great respect, like we do any form of Krishna. The holy name, the deity, prasadam. A devotee is never over familiar with these things. He's very careful. Never that familiarity breeds contempt. A devotee is very careful that after many years he has the same awe and reverence for those things which first attracted him to Krishna consciousness, even 10, 20, 30 years down the road. He deals with them with the same awe and veneration. So we utilize that feature very carefully. We don't waste a moment. We don't want to waste a moment. Ayusha shana ekopi na labhya svarna kotibi na chen nira takam niti kacha hanestato dika. Another nice verse, but this is from Niti Shastra. Even one moment of life spent cannot be regained for millions of gold coins, Chanaka Pandit says. Therefore, what greater loss is there than time spent uselessly? What do karmis, they say about time? They try to killing time. Devotees are not wasting time. So time can be our best friend. That which is our greatest enemy can be our best friend if we utilize it properly for Krishna consciousness. A devotee doesn't lament for growing old or dying. He sees that time is his friend, bringing him closer to Krishna. Things are passing, but it has a different effect for a devotee. Just like the influence of time is different in the spiritual world. In Goswami literature, we hear how Mother Yasoda is cooking grains in the pot, and all those grains, of course, are Krishna conscious living entities, and their pleasure is to be cooked and enjoyed by Krishna. She's cooking them in the pot. They're thinking, oh boy, Krishna's going to eat us. It was actually Jiva Goswami describes. But as soon as Krishna eats them, they're right back in the pot again, being cooked up. So this is time. It doesn't have the same influence. Here it deteriorates, there it facilitates. In the spiritual world, everything is ever fresh. Every time the residents of Vrindavan wake up for a new day in Krishna consciousness, by the potency of yoga maya, it's as if they never did those things. It's like, just like when you do something nice for the first time, there's a special charm to it. You think of something nice in your life. The first time you did it, you know, it's always nice, but, you know, ice cream. But the first time, you know, the first time you traveled overseas, you did your OE experience, as they call it in New Zealand. You know, there's something special. But in Vrindavan, every day is like that. Time is passing, quote-unquote, but due to the potency of yoga maya, has a different effect. It's like the first time. Everything is eternal. Nothing is subject to destruction in the spiritual world. Life there is an eternal festival. So what devotee laments the passing of time in this world if by that time we will be delivered to Sri Vrindavan Dham? And we even experience now in Krishna consciousness that time goes very quickly. In the material world, if you don't like what you're doing, time goes very slow. But if you like what you're doing, time goes very fast. We were in India for almost 2 months. When I was leaving on the plane, I was thinking, gosh, it seems like it was only there a week. And I think the festival program here will also be the same. It's of the same spiritual nature. Absolute. So time will go very quickly. So therefore, that is the solution to the problem of this all-devouring time. Utilize time in Krishna's service, and time, which is Krishna, will be very merciful to the devotee, although time is very cruel to the non-devotee because of his sinful mentality. It's like Nrisimhadeva is very cruel to Hiranyakashipu, but that same lion man god is very soft and gentle with devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So utilize time nicely in Krishna's service, and time will be truly on your side by delivering you one day back home, back to Godhead. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shridhar Prabhupada ki Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki Gaur Premanandi Hare Krishna.